I am very, 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 very bad with navigating. I'm not very good with maps. I struggle when I drive somewhere. I struggle to get home. Like, I might go off the main road and it's left, left, right, and I'm at the soccer field or the person's house. I don't quite work out in my head that to get out it's
left, right,
left, right, right. I just don't quite get that. And I more often than not will make a wrong turn. I'll go, oh, wait, this is the wrong way. These things don't look familiar. I'll have to do a U-turn, go back the other way. I've had many times where I've ended up in the wrong place. Who knows where Newtown is?
Yeah.
Okay, Newtown, inner city type of area. And I was on my way home from Newtown once to go to the Central Coast. Now, who knows where the Central Coast is? Okay, you've got to go over the Harbour Bridge or at least under some type of tunnel to get back to the Central Coast. Central Coast is on the other side of the bridge. I ended up in the rocks. And that's not over the bridge. I saw a sign that says Sydney North or City North or something like that. I thought, oh, I've got to go through North Sydney, so that must be the right place to go. I'm like, oh, what are these rocks? Where's the bridge gone? It's up there. And I was lost. And it took me probably about 2.5 hours to make an hour and 15-minute trip home because I got lost significantly. And if it was up to me to get us up this mountain, just like the man that was driving the car in the drama, I'd struggle, okay? I'm hopeless at navigating. We'd be lost. The only possible way that I could get us to Mount Hotham would be if all roads led to Mount Hotham. Now, before we talk a little bit more about all the roads leading to Mount Hotham, I want to show you some other examples of people like me who are bad with navigating, bad with their driving, and sometimes end up in the wrong place at definitely the wrong time. This guy, he's pretty bad with navigating. When it said turn right, he said, I'm going to go up the tree instead. Next one. This guy, he thought he had to go via the water, and he didn't quite realise that it didn't mean go through the backyard pool. Next one. Now this guy, he has hit that with some speed. He was probably navigating to go left, and what has he done? He's gone straight through the intersection. This next one is fantastic. Look at this. Can you see the progression? I'll sit down. I don't know how this happens. How do you get your car hanging on power lines? Can you see what's going on there? How did that happen? I don't know how it happened. Someone somewhere, somehow, has taken a wrong turn and thought, rather than going left, I'm going to go up this pole and hook up onto that power line. I think we might have one more. She was going on a trip and she was going out on a cruise and she thought, where do I park my car? How about I park half of it on the wharf and half of it on the boat and we'll see what happens. Is that the last one, Ben? That's the last one. There's a bunch of people just like me who are bad at navigating, and when they're supposed to take a turn left, they go right, they go up a tree, they go who knows where they go. Now, some people actually say that all roads lead to God. But just like the fact that all roads don't lead to Mount Hotham, all roads do not lead to God. All roads don't get you to be with God. And in the end, there's only one way that you can be with God. There's only one way, there's only one road, one narrow road that gets from us to God. Now, this week, what have we been talking about? We've been talking about how to be brought from
death.
Well, that was a bad death. Let's start again. Well, this week we've been talking about how do we brought from
death to life.
Okay, as we've been talking about that, on the first day we found out that we're just like dead goldfish. We're powerless to be able to do anything. Why? Because we're dead. The only way that we can be brought from
death
to
life
is because of God's grace. Because of the great gift that he's given us in Jesus, we can be made alive. We can be brought from
death
to
life.
Now, yesterday, last night, we heard about what it actually cost for Jesus to bring us from
death
to
life.
And what it cost Jesus to bring us from death to life. You can have too many, can't you? What it actually cost him to make us alive is his life. Jesus died for us when we were ungodly, when we were powerless, when we were sinners, when we were God's enemies. And he shows us how much he loves us by dying for us then. And last night we talked about the cross, and the way that we can be brought from death to life is by Jesus' death for us. He dies the death that we deserve. Now, the key verse that we've got, quickly turn back to it. What page is it? Someone help me. Page 7. Let's read it together. Everyone got it? Page 7, John 5:24. Here we go. I tell you the truth, comma. Whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be condemned, semicolon. He has crossed over from
death
to
life,
full stop. Well done. Good work with the punctuation, kids. Well done. What's the key to being brought from
death
to
life?
Two things. What are they?
Hearing and believing.
Hearing and believing. Hearing what?
His word.
Hearing the word of Jesus. Believing what? Believing God, believing that word, hearing the word, believing that word. So tonight the question we're going to ask as we look at this passage that's been read out for us is, how do we actually know that Jesus is the way? Okay, we've talked about on the first night being made alive with Christ, being saved by grace because of what Christ has done. Last night we've spoken about Jesus dying for us when we were his enemies. And tonight we're going to talk about how Jesus is the way to God. The question is, how do we know that? How do we know that Jesus is the way? Now, in the bit of the Bible that's been read out, in John chapter 14, just before that, in John chapter 13, Jesus tells his friends that he's going to go away. He's going on a bit of a trip, maybe. And his friends actually are a bit worried. They're anxious. Have you ever been anxious about something before where you're worried and you're like, something significant? These guys are really worried. They're really anxious. But Jesus says, don't worry. And he tells them that those that trust in him, that is, those that trust in Jesus will have a place reserved in heaven. Got that? Those that trust in Jesus will have a place reserved in heaven. Have a look at verse number 1. He says, don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God, trust also in me. Do you know what Jesus says? Jesus says that the solution to their worries is to trust in him. The solution to their anxiety is to trust in him. Have a look at verse 2. He says, in my Father's house are many rooms. If it weren't so, I would have told you, I'm going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. See what's going on there? He's saying, don't worry. Trust in me. Trust in my Father. Because why? In God's house, there's many, many rooms. There's lots of space. And Jesus says that he's going to prepare a place for them. Jesus is about to prepare a place for his disciples. It's those that trust in Jesus that will have a place reserved. Got that? It's those that trust in Jesus that will have a place reserved for them in heaven. It's a bit like when you go to a friend's house, and imagine you with your family. You go a significant trip, you drive, you get there at midnight, and when you get there at midnight, more often than not, what have they done for you? They've made the beds for you so that you can get there, say g'day, and go to bed. The beds are prepared. Jesus, he's about to go and make the bed. He's about to go and set it all out, put the towel on the end, put some soap on the pillow. He's going to put some chocolates as well for the ladies. And he's going to go and prepare a place for those. He's going to go and prepare a place for those who trust in him. Now, the word trust, what it actually means, when Jesus says, trust in me, the word trust comes up a lot of times. It basically means to depend on him. That is, to rely on him, to have faith in him. When you see the word faith in the Bible, more often than not, it's similar to the word trust. It's have your faith in him. It's believe in him. Now, how do you show that you trust something? Well, how do I show I trust this chair? What do you do?
Sit on it.
Yeah, you sit on it. How do you show that you trust the bus driver on the way up Mount Hotham this year? You get on the bus, you sit on the seat. That's how you show that you trust him. You trust that he has a license. You trust that he knows where he's going. You trust that he still knows how to drive. You trust that he's not sending text messages on his phone the whole way. You trust... Sorry, that was last year's bus driver. You trust the driver by hopping in the bus and sitting down. Your parents trust that driver by pushing you on that bus and letting you sit down. Ski lift. How do you trust that? Well, some people fall out of ski lifts, but you get on it. Like, it's pretty daunting. We look like if you fell from that height, you'd probably die. If not, you'd probably get stack of the day. Either way, you'd probably get stack of the day and the cape of glory all rolled into one. There was this man who, his name was Blondin, and he was a famous tightrope walker, and he was very, very impressive. And what he used to do, he used to string a piece of tightrope at Niagara Falls. You might have heard this one before. I'm not sure what the spanse is, but it's more than 5 metres.
Yes.
Okay? It's probably more than 10. It's probably even more than 20. It's a significant distance, and this guy was talented. Like, he'd do the walking type of thing. He'd do the backwards. He could probably even do a bit of moonwalk. That was pre-Michael Jackson. Ooh, sorry. I just broke 4 strings.
No, it's already broken.
Oh, phew. Okay, he could break guitars while he's walking along that thing. He could even, no. He did all sorts of crazy things. He could even take a wheelbarrow across, okay? He'd take it across, bring it back. People are cheering. He'd put a sack of potatoes in that wheelbarrow, take it across, bring it back. And by this stage, all the crowd are like going crazy. You're the man. You're the man. They probably didn't say that back then. You are the man, they might have said. You're fantastic. And they were going crazy for this man, Blondin. And he says to the crowd, who of you believes that I could put a man in this wheelbarrow, take him across and bring him back? All their hands shot up and said, we believe you. We believe that you could do that, Blondin. And then he said, who of you will be that man? And as quick as the hands shot up, they dropped back down again. They said that they believed him. They said that they trusted that he could do it, but were they willing to give their lives and actually hop in the wheelbarrow? No, they weren't willing to go that far. They weren't willing to demonstrate that their trust was in him. Now, with Jesus, we need to put our trust in him. Remember the end of last night? You'll be safe from the flames. You'll be safe from the flames if you're in the spot where the fire has already burnt. If you trust in him, you'll be okay on that last day. You'll be okay. Jesus says, trust in him and you will have life forever. Jesus says, trust in him and you'll have a place reserved in heaven. Now, the Bible makes it pretty clear that there's in the end only two places you can go. The Bible says there's a heaven. The Bible says there's a hell. Jesus himself talks about hell more than anyone else in the Bible. And if you had the choice, what one would you take? Would you go, I'd love to be in hell. I'd love to be cut off from God's goodness. I'd love to be out of relationship. I'd love to suffer an eternity of punishment from God. Would anyone really choose that? What would you rather? You'd rather be in heaven, that is, enjoying right relationship with God and others. A place that you don't deserve to be, but a place that has been booked by what Jesus has done. A place that is perfect in every way. And Jesus says, if you want to go on the road to heaven, you need to trust in him. You need to put your dependence upon him. You need to rely on him. You need to put your belief in him. And in the book of John, the one where this is taken from, John writes a biography about Jesus. And in the book, the word believe comes up, I think, it's about 99 times. Believe, believes, believed, believing, those type of words. The whole way through John, he wants you to believe something. What is it he wants you to believe? He wants you to believe in Jesus. Believe in the Son of God. Believe that he's the Christ. That is, believe that he's the King. My question is, will you? Will you trust in Jesus? Will you cling to him like going across a tight rope? Will you trust that he won't let you fall? Will you cling to him? Because you know what? Heaven, life forever with God, it's going to be awesome. It's going to be unbelievable. Now, as you watch the news, if you read the newspaper at all, you'll notice that the world we live in, it's messed up. It's not as it should be. It's not how God intended it to be. Yet the Bible says that there will be a time when there'll be an end to this messed up world. I want to read to you from Revelation chapter 21. It should pop up on the screen if you don't have a Bible. Revelation chapter 21, verse 3. It says, and I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. Do you see that picture? That's a picture of heaven. That's a picture of being with God, where he is our God. We can call him Father, where we are his people. We belong to him. And what will it be like? It won't be like this messed up world. The place where Jesus is about to go prepare for his disciples is perfect. It's with God, and there'll be an end to pain and suffering and death and tears and crying and mourning. All those things will have passed away. For the one who trusts in Jesus, all that will have washed away, and everything will be perfect. You're in a marvellous picture. It's a marvellous picture. If you haven't yet had grief in your life, if you haven't yet realised that the world's messed up, it's only a matter of time before you realise that. And God says there's a time coming when he'll do an end to our messed up world. Can I encourage you, can I urge you to trust in Jesus? And know that if you do, if you put your trust in him, you will have life forever. There'll be no more sickness, there'll be no more crying, there'll be no more tears, there'll be no more pain. All of that will have passed away. Now, quick show of hands if you've ever heard of another religion other than Christianity. Okay. Okay, this is a test to see if you're listening. There's about 12 hands not up. Quick show of hands if you have heard of another religion other than Christianity. Okay, everyone has pretty much put their hand up. If you haven't, there's oodles of them. There's literally a smorgasbord. Who likes smorgasbords? I love them. They can't control me. Sizzler is fantastic. How many are there in Sydney? I think there's still one out in Campbelltown. Is that right?
Yeah, yeah.
Is there another one?
Some.
There you go. Let me tell you a quick story. We went on holidays, Rowena and I, to the Queensland a year ago maybe. And we went to Sizzler because they're everywhere in Queensland. And the highlight of my holiday was going to Sizzler. And on the way home, she's like, you can't tell people that the highlight of your holiday was Sizzler. And this is actually the first time I've done it. The highlight of my holiday was going to Sizzler. It was fantastic.
Yeah.
There you go. Now, there's many religions in the world. There's a smorgasbord of religions. Why can't you just believe in any of them? Why can't you believe in whichever one you want? It's because, from what Jesus says here in the passage, that Jesus is the only way to get there. The only way to get to God is through Jesus. Have a look at verse 4. Verse 4, he says, you know the way to the place where I'm going. Okay? Jesus says, you know where to go, don't you? Look at verse 5. Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way? You see what Thomas is saying? He's saying, mate, hang on, what's the way? We don't know the way. Give us a map. Like, how do you get there? No, what do you mean we know the way? We don't know how to get there. He doesn't know the way. And so what does Jesus say? He says that he's the only way to God. Have a look at verse 6. This is from one of the songs we just sang. Jesus answered, I am the way. I am the true truth. I'm the life. The way to go home. But no, that bit's not in the passage. Wow, they must have added that. No one comes to the Father except through me. See that? I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. That's why we can't just believe whatever we want. You're welcome to believe whatever you want, but it'll get you nowhere. All roads don't lead to Mount Hotham. All roads do not lead to God. Jesus is the only way. But why do we need Jesus? Why do we need him to get us there? Well, it's because we've already talked about it. It's because we've offended him. God is this holy, righteous, perfect, and good God. Yet we have tried to run life our own way. We've ran life without him in the picture. Sin comes between us and God. And sin, sin isn't just like the naughty things that you do. Sin isn't just the things you get crosses against your name in class, or murder, or rape, or stealing. It's not just those things. Sin is our whole attitude of saying, God, you're not going to be God, I'm going to be God. And there's nothing that we can do to bridge that gap. There's this big thing separating us from God. Now, hand up if you're a swimmer. Okay, let's see who can swim the furthest. I've got a challenge. I want to see if one of you can swim from here. Okay, let's go to the East Coast a little bit. To New Zealand. Okay, who reckons they could make it? Does anyone know where Terrigal Beach is?
Yeah.
It's on the Central Coast. Doesn't have surf, but a really nice place. Terrigal Beach, we're all standing on it, okay? Who's about to jump in this competition? Let's all jump in it, okay? Everyone's in this competition. Okay, dive in the water, 5 metres. Have we lost anyone yet? Oh, no, everyone leave your hand up, and when you've probably drowned or need to turn back because you're about to die, drop your hand. We'll see who wins. Okay, 5 metres. Woo-hoo-hoo, 10, 20, 100 metres. We've lost some. And there's no sharks, by the way. 200 metres. 300 metres, 500 metres, 600, 1 kilometre, 1.3 kilometres, that's 1300 metres, 1 mile, that's 1600 metres, 2 kilometres, 3 kilometres, 4 kilometres, Jared, you're not a swimmer. 5 kilometres. Okay, we've got 2 left. 5 kilometres. Huh? This is ocean.
Okay, Dave, can I just say, on a campus medical form, it states that they can swim 50,000 metres.
Is that yours?
That's Georgia Wenton.
That's awesome. That's pretty cool. Maybe it was millimetres. They forgot one of the M's. Okay, how far do you reckon you could make it? Okay, next question. How far do you reckon you could make it? 8Ks. Okay, let's imagine this is the east coast of Australia, Terrigal Beach, and this is the west coast of New Zealand. Okay, so there's some of us that have made it this far. Some of us made it this far. Lachlan's made it this far. Ian Thorpe makes it this far. Susie Moroney makes it about this far. I'd probably make it about this far. And Jared will make it about this far. Okay, look how much there is between here and here. No one can swim from Australia to New Zealand. There's nothing you could do to swim that far. There's nothing you can do to bridge the gap between us and God. The barrier that's in the way is so great. Like, even if you're a little bit better than the person sitting beside you, you've still fallen short. The only way that you can get there is with a valid ticket. Just like the only way you can get up a ski lift is by having they look at the tag and they see if it's still valid, is with a valid ticket. The only way you can get to heaven is with a valid ticket. That is Jesus. Jesus buys the ticket. Jesus is the ticket. Jesus is the way. Jesus is the truth. Jesus is the life. He's the one that bridges the gap by his death and resurrection. Now, when Jesus dies on the cross, it's as if there's this big magnifying glass there above his head. You know how magnifying glasses work? Okay, you put them over something and they focus the sun's ray down so that you can burn an ant, you can write your name in a leaf, you can burn your friend's leg beside you, you can do all sorts of things like that. And I'm not scientific at all, so it sucks in the sun rays and then it focuses them down onto that one point. Okay? Is that not scientific? Good. Sucks it in. It's as if when Jesus dies on the cross, there's this whopping big magnifying glass above his head that sucks down the anger of God that we deserve. Not just people 2,000 years ago, but people 4,000 years ago, people today, people in 100 years' time. As Jesus dies there, above his head is this big magnifying glass that focuses down onto his head. And as he hangs there and as he dies for you and he dies for me. He takes upon himself the anger that we deserve. That's what happens at the cross, and that is how you can get to heaven. It's by trusting in that death for you. It's by trusting that when God's anger was poured out, it won't be poured out in the same place twice. So if you've got your trust in Jesus, you will be safe on that last day. You will have a bed prepared for you in heaven. Now, it'd be pretty foolish to reject what Jesus has done. If he's the only way, it'd be like not accepting the aid of a lifesaver who was trying to rescue you as you tried to swim to New Zealand. It would be like not accepting one of these ski first aid guys as you've just broken every limb and you're like, oh, I'll be okay. I can get back up myself. It'd be foolish. Jesus comes down on a rescue mission and he dies and shows that he is the only way to bring us back to the Father. Now, the question from the start as we close was, how do we know that Jesus is the way? Well, he tells us it, okay? He says it, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. But not only does he say it, he shows it. He shows that he is the way. He tells us and he shows us. And that's what I think he means when he's saying, I'm about to go and prepare a place for you in heaven. I don't think he's meaning he's literally going to go up there and make some beds and put some chocolates and soap on the pillow and put your towel on the end of the bed. I think what he's talking about, he's about to go to the cross. Like, this isn't far before he dies. How does Jesus prepare a place for us in heaven? He dies. He dies to buy your ticket. He dies for you. It's on the cross as Jesus dies that he prepares a place for them, the disciples in the passage, and us. Jesus goes to the cross. He goes to the grave. He rises again. He tells us that he's the way, and then he shows us. Now, that song, Sacrifice, is a marvelous song that helps us to reflect on Jesus dying as a sacrifice. Jesus dying in our place. Jesus dying as the only way to be brought back to life again. Let me close with a question. The question is, what are you trusting in? That is, where is your trust? There's many things that you can put your trust in. Because in the end, we all trust in something. Beyond just trusting in the chair you're sitting in and the bus you're driving in. Maybe it's trusting in your popularity. Maybe it's trusting in the school that you go to. I've got status because I go to school. Maybe it's trusting in your possessions. I don't know, maybe you've got really a big collection of surfboards. Maybe your iPod has 60 gigabytes. Maybe it might be the job that you'll one day have. You'll be trusting in that. Maybe it might be another religion. Maybe it might be the religion of serving me, 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 me. What are you trusting in? Are you trusting in those things? Are you trusting in false gods? Or are you trusting in Jesus? Jesus says that he is the only way. He tells us, he shows us. Where is your trust? Can I encourage you to put your trust in God? He alone is trustworthy. He alone is worthy of our trust. He loves us so much that he has sent his son into this world. He has sent Jesus to die that we could come back to him and have life forever. Now, if you haven't yet got your trust in Jesus, can I remind you of the prayer we prayed last night? We're not going to do it again, but you might like to do it in your own time, in your small group, maybe when you get home from camp. Remember the three things: sorry, thanks, and please. Saying sorry to God that you've offended him. Saying thanks to God that Jesus has died for you and being raised again. And say, please God, help me now to live differently. Let me remind you of that prayer. And I'm going to pray that God would help all of us to trust in him. How about you pray with me? Dear God, we do thank you for the Lord Jesus. And we thank you that he is trustworthy. We thank you that he tells us that he is the way. And we thank you that he shows us that he is the way. We thank you that he died. We thank you that he was buried. But we thank you that he was raised again. And we thank you that he has prepared a place for us who have our trust in him. And we pray that you would help us to trust in him. And those here that may not yet have their trust in him or may still have questions, we pray that you would point them to the Lord Jesus and that you would enable them to put their trust in you. Please help us not to trust in things that are fading away. Please help us not to trust in ourselves or other religions. But please help us to trust in the risen Lord Jesus Christ. And it's in his name that we pray. Amen.